Praise God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You have breath? Is it good breath or bad breath? Doesn't matter. If you have breath, you're to praise the Lord. That's the very last verse in the book of Psalms. And this whole book of Psalms is a book of praise. How often we're commanded to praise the Lord in the book of Psalms. And the very last thing that the psalmist writes is, let everything that hath breath praise him. Hallelujah. That means as long as we're alive, as long as we're here on earth, it's our privilege to give praise to our God. Hallelujah. You never outgrow that. As a matter of fact, David said, I will praise him more and more as I get older. I like that. When I first came to the Ridgewood Church, one of my first jobs was to pick up the elderly people in the van. And so I used to go to Mrs. Bensonberg's house, and I'd get the Bloom sisters, and I'd get Sister, what's her name? And one time I was late for Sister Bensonberg, and she got in somebody else's car. They pulled up in front of the house, and she just went down the steps, opened the door, and sat in with these teenagers, and I don't know who got more scared. But Sister Bensonberg just laughed. That's her. And told us all about it when the van finally came. It was great. But you know, I used to love picking up the older people in Ridgewood. You know, because they were so joyful in the Lord. They had learned to praise him more and more. And it did me good to be around them. You know, we need people like that in our churches. People that know how to open their hearts to God. It affects the whole meeting. You're blessed because there are people that know how to reach out and praise God and enter into his presence and have faith over the meeting. Every one of us can be that type of person if we're willing to learn how to praise him and give him glory. You know, sometimes I think that people that I minister to sometimes really don't know what praise is all about. They think, well, if I'm excited about the Lord today, I'll praise him. If I'm happy, I'll praise him. And if I'm not too excited, then I'll let someone else praise him until something good happens in my life. You know, praise is not just an expression of how much we love the Lord, how good we feel about things, being thankful for something that has happened. You know, we talk about praise reports. Who has a praise report? Well, that means what? Something good happened to you. Let's hear about it and thank God for it. And that's all good. But praise is much more than just expressing our appreciation or love to God. The Bible makes that very clear. Praise is a weapon that God has put into our hands, put into our mouth, to defeat the enemy in our lives and in our midst, and to open the way for God's glory to fill our lives and to bring us into his victory. I'm going to look at a few verses with you at the beginning of this meeting so that as we continue to praise God, we know what we're doing. The Bible says, praise the Lord with the understanding. You know, realize what you're doing and why you're doing it. And do it in faith and expect God to meet you. Praise God. In Exodus chapter 15, we read of the children of Israel, well, had just gotten out of Egypt, just crossed the Red Sea, and now they had reason to praise God, didn't they? He wrought such a marvelous deliverance. God wanted them to remember that all for every generation. Never forget how I brought you out of the bondage of Egypt and brought you through the wilderness and into the land that I had promised to you. Never forget my faithfulness, and so on. And it says, Moses sang, and the children of Israel, this song unto the Lord. This is Exodus 15. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, where do you see praise in that? Well, Moses certainly is praising God in his song. We praise God as we sing these wonderful songs that exalt Him. But it's interesting, in the New International Version, it says, I will prepare Him a habitation. Let's see where that is. Okay, here it is. I will prepare Him a habitation is in verse 2. And in the King James, it says, the Lord is my strength and song. He's become my salvation. He's my God, and I will praise Him. So the King James says, I will prepare Him a habitation. And the NIV translates that word as, I will praise Him. And you know, these Hebrew words and these Greek words that God has chosen, through which He has brought the Word of God to us, are rich with meaning. And that's why sometimes the translators, they have to prayerfully consider which word best gives the sense of what God is saying in that passage. But I think sometimes it's right for us to recognize that the reason there's more than one way of looking at that word is because God wants us to include all of those thoughts in our understanding. When I praise the Lord, what I'm doing is I'm preparing a habitation for God. I will prepare Him a habitation. I will praise Him. That certainly goes along with Psalm 22, where the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people and that He is enthroned, it says in the NIV, upon the praises of His people. And so when we praise the Lord, we're somehow making a habitation. We're inviting Him to come and to dwell among us, to dwell in our midst. Do you ever think about that when you're praising God? Jesus, I'm inviting You. I raise my hands. I reach out to You. I'm praising You, Lord. I'm inviting You to come, to fill this place, to fill my life, to fill all of our lives. We're preparing a habitation for Him to come and meet us and draw near to us. And when the Bible says in Psalm 22 there about the not only preparing to have a habitation, but He's enthroned upon those praises. You know, when we praise the Lord, we're bowing to Him, we're acknowledging His greatness, and He is enthroned upon those praises. You know, when the King sits upon the throne, He's ready to rule. And when we praise the Lord and we acknowledge how great He is, He begins to manifest His power and His authority in our lives, over our lives, in the situations that we find ourselves in. We begin to praise Him. And we say, Lord, You take charge. You sit upon the throne. You manifest Your kingly authority and command Your enemies to bow before You and subdue all things unto Yourself. Oh, there have been wonderful testimonies of how people have just praised God. And in praising Him, God's power began to flow. And changes were wrought in them and in the situation that they were troubled about. So often that's the case, because we understand praise isn't just saying, thank You, Jesus, and I love You, and I'm excited about You. But when I praise God, I am opening the way for heaven to come down and fill my soul. When I praise the Lord, I'm acknowledging that He is King, and He's greater than any situation I find myself in. And He has sufficient power to make whatever changes need to be made in my life. And in all that concerns me. In Psalm 8, let's go back to Psalm 8. So many of these are in the Psalms. In Psalm 8, it tells us there, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, Thou hast ordained strength. This is the second verse. Lord, O Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. And now verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou might still the enemy and the avenger. Now, if you look over on the NIV, if you have that, it says, from the lips of children and infants You have ordained praise because of Your enemies to silence the foe and the Avenger. So here we have another word that can be looked upon in these two ways. Strength and praise. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, his triumphal entry, it tells us there, and I think it's Matthew, let's see, I think I wrote that down somewhere. Yeah, Matthew 21:16. Jesus quotes that verse, but instead of using the word strength, he uses the word praise. Have ye never heard, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise? All right, the Pharisees were, and these religious leaders were troubled over the fact that Jesus was allowing these children to praise him. And he said, haven't you ever read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained or perfected praise? But when you read it in Psalm 8, it can also be translated, you've ordained strength. And so here we see another connection, that when we praise the Lord, God ministers strength to us. Strength, strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man. And God also ministers strength to our outer man as well. Our physical being receives strength and healing often as we praise him. I've heard of people that have had this testimony. I was sick, and I just began to praise God. I got my eyes off myself, off my sickness, off the doctor's report, and I just praised him and praised him, and I praised him, and I was strengthened, and God began to strengthen me in spirit. And then it overflowed into my body somehow, and God brought healing and renewing and refreshing to me. I know that it's been the testimony of people that have worked hard, and they get to church that night, or maybe Brother Tom has worked real hard all day, and he drags himself into meeting, and I'm sure he would testify to this. I've heard him do it, that there are times when he just praised the Lord, exhausted as he was, praised him. Just worshipped him, and God began to pour strength into his life, and he left feeling much better than when he first came in. And many have had that testimony, but not to minimize the outward strength, but oh, how we need strength in our souls, how we are become weary. Sometimes we're discouraged, and as we praise God and get our eyes on the Lord and exalt his name, he begins to strengthen us inwardly and gives us renewed courage and grace to continue on serving him in no matter what we're facing, and to triumph over the things that we're dealing with in our lives. Oh, people need to be strengthened in the Lord, built up on the inside. And God does that for us when we praise him. There's more. In Psalm 50, it tells us that whosoever offereth praise glorifies the Lord. And to him that orders his conversation aright, will he show the salvation of God. Right at the end of Psalm 50. How does that work here? Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Now, we can go back to the NIV again. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me and prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. Wow. So when I praise the Lord, I'm glorifying him, especially when I thank him, when I offer thanksgiving to the Lord. He is glorified. And he says, that's the way, or that opens the way for me to show you my salvation, to save you in whatever need you find yourself in. I come to save you and minister my salvation to you as you praise me. They tell us, Brother Edwin Waldfogel used to quote the German of that verse. The Luther translation, and it was always, I always noticed, whenever he quoted the German, it was often the same as I read in the NIV. I found that interesting. And there he said, here the word praise means thank offerings. Oh, we come into his courts and his presence with praise and thanksgiving. And that's exactly what it tells us in Psalm 100. Let's just look there quickly. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless or praise his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Here he tells us that when we come into the presence of God, when we come together to seek the Lord, we ought to offer thanksgiving, we ought to offer praise, and in that way we experience his goodness and his mercy, which, as we heard the other day, follow us all the days of our life. Praise God. Psalm 103, there's just one or two that I have in mind. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord. That word bless means praise. People have wondered, how can I bless God? He's supposed to bless me. But the Hebrew word is the same for praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And then he says, do it with all that is within you. Praise him with all your heart. You know, sometimes people praise the Lord and they're so half-hearted about it. They're praising the Lord, but they're not even thinking about what they're saying or doing. They got their mind somewhere else. Or they're just so quiet about it. Or sometimes they just sit there and they listen to other people praise God. We have people in our church like that. They don't open their mouths. They just listen to other people praise God. Well, they have as much reason to praise God as anybody else. He paid the same price for their salvation as for mine. And so here it tells us when we praise the Lord, we ought to do it with our whole heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Have you ever praised God like that? Have you learned to do that? Oh, what blessing. You know, I remember when I asked Jesus to come into my life and he changed my heart and made himself real as my Lord and Savior. But you know, when I learned how to praise God, Jesus came to me in a new way, in a greater way. I know that. I remember that time in my life when God began to move in a new way in my life, and it was because I began to learn how to praise him. You know, we sometimes are shy, like Sister Nora said the other day, not everybody is comfortable giving testimonies, and ministers have to be patient with and understand that, and that's true. So it is with the praising. You know, some people say, well, I praise God in my heart. I'm not a very demonstrative person. I'm not comfortable. I don't want to draw any attention to myself. So I listen. I praise him in my heart. Sometimes I lift my hands this high if no one's looking. That's how they do it. Well, that's not bless the Lord, O my soul, when all that is within me bless his holy name. That's not shouting his praises like the Bible admonishes us to or commands us to from time to time. That's not praising him with all the heart. But we need to learn that. And sometimes you need to just close your eyes. When I was little, I would close my eyes so nobody could see me. Is that how that works? I used to think so. If I closed my eyes, you couldn't see me. Well, if it helps you, do it. Close your eyes so nobody sees you. And then just praise him. Say, I don't care. Listen, Jesus is here. I need him. I need him to come to me. I need him to strengthen me. I need him to fill me with his glory. I need to just make him comfortable and prepare him a habitation. I need to praise him with all that is within me. And I've got so much to be thankful for. I couldn't praise him enough if I praised him all day long. And so, Lord, help me to praise you. And you make yourself do it. Some people wait until God moves them somehow, and it never happens. When I really get inspired, then I'll do it, but I just don't do it when I'm not inspired. Well, we ought to do it because the Bible commands us to, and because he is worthy of our praise. Don't worry about the inspiration. But when you praise him, oh, God begins to anoint send the anointing oil upon you. And sometimes you'll start praising God, and it'll be difficult to begin with, and maybe you're a little sheepish about it. But after a while, God begins to move in your life. You begin to sense His presence. He begins to fill you with His joy. And then you forget about everything and everyone, and you just get lost in God, and you just worship Him with all your heart. And God pours out His Spirit upon you, and also pours out His Spirit upon the meeting. And you're so glad you've learned to do that. I don't have trouble praising God so much as I did when I was younger. It's become more natural to me. As a matter of fact, I have trouble not praising God in a meeting. It's hard for me to sit there and not praise Him when He draws so near. And when other people praise Him, it's right for me to join in, because that's the way the Lord is leading the meeting. And if we want the Holy Ghost to have His way in the meeting, then we've got to do what the Holy Ghost guides us to do. And if people are praising and we have a time of praise, well, then we want to enter in. We want to get into the flow of what God is doing. You know, now maybe you come to Pilgrim Camp and you say, well, we don't praise God like that in my church. Well, I hope you praise God somehow in your church. That's the important thing. If you praise Him by just singing songs, sing them with all your heart to the Lord. Think about every word. Mean it. And expect God to honor that and come to you and minister to you. I'm glad in our fellowship and in other fellowships, we do have these opportunities to just praise Him. It's not just limited to singing songs, but in between songs, I can, in my own words, tell Jesus how much I love Him. I can express my thanks to Him in my own words. I can say hallelujah and glory to God and praise you, Jesus, and thank you, Lord. Sometimes you learn to praise God by sitting next to someone who knows how to do it. I've heard of people doing that. The person next to me said hallelujah, so I said hallelujah. And they said praise the Lord, and I said praise the Lord. And the Lord, they said, you're so good to us women. And I said, you're so good to me. Can't repeat everything, but, you know, the important thing, you know, is that we learn to praise Him. In Psalm 149, it tells us there that praise, again, is a weapon. It's a way that God has ordained to destroy the enemies that fight against us in our lives. He says, let the high praises of God, this is Psalm 149, verse 6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Well, we think of the two-edged sword, that reminds us of the Word of God right away, right? It's a two-edged sword. And so we have the Word of God in one hand, and we have the praises of God flowing from our hearts, out of our mouths. Let the praises of God be in their mouth, high praises, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. Now, I don't think God wants us to praise Him so that He can destroy our natural enemies. I think He's talking about spiritual enemies. Although, of course, the children of Israel, when they praised God, God came and fought their battles for them. But we have spiritual battles in our lives. We have habits and bondages and enemies that come against us to keep us from being what God wants us to be, trying to drag us back into sin and into the flesh. Sometimes the flesh is very strong and tries to exert itself. And we're no match for that, but we can invite Jesus to come and fight that battle for me. And so with the praises of God in my mouth and the Word of God to stand upon, I somehow make a way for God to come into that situation and to destroy those kings and break those chains and bind their nobles with fetters of iron and so on. And so there's such victory in praise. Sometimes we've been instructed by our ministers, Maybe we dealt with depression. There's struggles that go on in our lives, darkness that comes upon us, and we can't seem to shake it. And they say, well, take time to praise God every day. I told my kids just the other day, I said, I think we should sing a few songs every night. And I didn't do too well with it, but I'm going to go back home and try it again. It's hard to get everybody together. But, you know, we need to sing, and we need to praise Him. And get into the habit of that. Do it in your home. Do it in your car. I see people doing all crazy things in their car when you drive on the highway. They're singing along with the radio, I imagine. And why not praise Him? Sometimes I turn off the radio when I go out to Long Island. I've got an hour. It takes an hour. Traffic, it takes two. And I say, oh, enough of this. Okay, Christian radio, it's good, but too much is no good. I don't need the radio to praise God for me. I can do it myself. And I begin to praise him as I'm driving. It makes the driving go better. I praise Him with my eyes open, of course, but it still works. And, you know, we've had people that have done that. They've taken that very seriously. They said, okay, Lord, I'm going to praise You 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. And they'd walk around praising the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, sing a song to Jesus. And, you know, the more they did that, the more liberated they became, the more freed up in their soul. And God began to fill them with His Holy Spirit and give them victory. The last verse I want to look at with you is in Hebrews. And I'm taking one verse really out of the New Testament, other than what Jesus said to the Pharisees. But in Hebrews chapter 13, it speaks about the sacrifice of praise. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals. In the New Testament, we make other types of sacrifices that we bring to the Lord. Verse 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's another thing. God wants us to do it continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So here He talks about our lips, that God wants the praises to come over our lips. Yes, it's good to praise God in your heart. That's where it starts. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if you really have the praises of God in your heart, it should come out over your lips. And if it doesn't, then maybe there's not enough there. And we need to ask God, deal with God about that. But here, this is a sacrifice. Sometimes it feels like a real sacrifice. I don't feel like praising You. Nothing's going right. Why should I praise You, we might be thinking. But then we realize that He's always worthy of our praise. And that praise is the way out of that pit that I'm in. Praise will spread the clouds apart and let the sun shine through again. And so I pick up that weapon and I begin to fight with it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus, I worship You. Lord, You're my King. And we find that as we do it, then God lifts our praises and they become high praises. He lifts them onto another realm, another level. The anointing of the Holy Ghost takes over. And then the praises begin to flow. Maybe we even praise Him in other tongues. And God, praising through us, just comes in a way that we would have missed if we didn't open our mouth and let the Lord have His way. And so I really felt that I needed to mention that somewhere along the way this week. And I guess tonight was the night. Now, I know some of you have heard these things. You've been taught these things in your church. But we all need to be reminded and to be refreshed in our understanding of these things. Make sure we're doing it. Make sure we're doing it. Okay, you know, sometimes we think, well, because I know it, then I'm doing it. But you're really not. You're really not. It's not enough to know these things. You've got to do them. I can't praise God for you. I wish I could sometimes. You can't praise God for me. That's something I have to choose to do. And if I'm too embarrassed or too self-conscious, then I'm just too full of myself. Myself is getting in the way of giving Jesus the glory that He is worthy of. myself is getting in the way of letting Jesus come and accomplish what he wants to accomplish in and through my life. It's too much about me when it's supposed to be all about him. And so, Lord, help us. Help me to praise you. And if you've been praising God, well, the Bible says do it more and more. So this is good for you too. I should praise him more and more. More and more situations. More time given to praising him during the day. Even at night. Talks about praising God in our beds. Well, you got to do that quietly, depending. But you can praise him. Oh, hallelujah. And so, Jesus, we pray that you'll help us. Lord, help us to understand that it's not about our feelings, and it's not about just saying thank you. But, Lord, this is your way that you have ordained to let your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives. Lord, when we have opportunity to praise you in meeting, Lord, don't let us just do it until the music stops, until everything dies out. But Lord, we pray that you will anoint us and bring our praises into your very throne room. And Lord, we pray that you will respond and pour out your glory. Fill us with your presence. Break the chains that bind us, Lord, and establish your kingdom more firmly in our hearts and in our lives. Pour out victory. Pour out healing. Fill people with the Holy Ghost. Send conviction for sin. Whatever it is that you want to do in that meeting, Lord, let there be many that open the way for God to come and the Spirit of God to flow and move among us. And when we go back to our home churches, Lord, I don't know how they do things in those different churches. But Lord, help us to find some way to praise you. Help us to enter in. Help us to open our hearts and have faith that God is going to come into that meeting. God is going to speak to us, and God is going to move in a mighty way and show us his glory. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.